this morning, as soon as we start singing, and we start singing that all praise, and I go, all praise, and then the mass sucks into my mouth, and I'm like, and then, so then I'm going back to the back, and I'm trying not to act like I'm coughing, because you know what happens when you cough in this day and age. So, so I'm sitting there thinking, at least when I come up here, I've got my water that I brought up, and apparently I left it back there or something, and I came up, and Mike's got his water, and he's like, this is my water. I'm going, I need the water. So Mike's bringing me water. Thank you. Appreciate it. This morning, let's pray as we get started. Father, I thank you for this morning. And God, I thank you that you give us the ability to be with you, not just in heaven for eternity, which would be enough, but you give us the ability to live with you daily, minutely in our lives. That there's not a time that goes by, like the song that we just sang, you make it easy to love you, and the world right now doesn't even understand that. But the fact that even when we go through hard times, you never leave us, never abandon us. And even when those times, those hard times may be our fault, you still don't leave us. I thank you for that this morning, and I pray that you would speak through me, that your word would go out, and that anybody online or in person here listening would hear your words, and you would do the work that you continue to do from eternity before to eternity beyond. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, my name's Nick Garrett. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's a blessing to be able to come up here and share God's word, and there's a high honor to be able to do that. And you know, you take it seriously when you know what you're sharing is coming straight out of his mouth and his words. And so trying to be truthful and true in what's being shared is my prayer this morning. But we've been talking about this summer the fruit of the Spirit, coming straight out of Galatians 5. And you guys know it. You can turn there if you want. It should be on the screens. But just to remind you, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I really have a hard time not, thanks to Jared, I really have a hard time not singing the Fruit of the Spirit song as I read that verse every time. You guys remember that, right? When Jared came up and preached and it was like, the fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. And then it goes to a chorus, but the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience. So every time I read it, I have to slow myself down and not go, love, joy, peace. It's just, I got to slow down and think about every word, love, joy. Anybody else hear that song every time you read that verse? I got a couple. Thank you. Thanks, Casey. So it's not just me. So, but Paul was writing to the church because Jesus had died. He had risen and he had ascended to heaven. And the apostles were going out and they were making churches and they were making disciples. And after a while, some of the Jews started kind of, for the Gentiles, they were saying, okay, yeah, you can be a believer in Jesus, you can be one of us, but you also have to be circumcised. You also have to follow these traditions. You also have to do this. Some of the old Jewish traditions and Hebrew traditions, they were saying, yeah, you do need to believe in Jesus. That's the main thing, but you also need to be doing this. And so Paul's writing here to the church. And in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. Well, let me start off by telling you that what he's not saying. He's not saying that if you're circumcised, you're no longer under grace. I know it sounds like that, but he's addressing what was happening in the church where they were saying, where they were teaching Christ plus for salvation, Christ plus circumcision. Because the Gentiles who were coming into the church, they weren't circumcised. So yes, you need to believe in Jesus, but you also have to do this. There are churches within our family who hang on to that right now. You have to believe in Jesus, yes, but you have to be baptized in order to be saved. You're not saved until baptism takes place. You have to believe in Jesus, plus you have to elevate Mary. You have to believe in Jesus, but you also have to do this. You also have to do this for salvation. And Paul's saying, no, it is Jesus alone for salvation. And for some of them, we all want to go back to a normal. Jesus had risen and ascended, and they were going back to this normal. Yeah, Jesus, he was a big deal, but you also have to make sure you do this, Gentiles. Here we are in our life now, and we can't wait to get back to a normal. And just as an aside, there's a part of me that's going, I wonder if God's allowing some of this because the normal wasn't right. Have you guys thought about that? Like, what if our normal wasn't God exalting? What if God wasn't, and Jesus was not our number one? That the line we just kept singing, I was so conflicted coming up here this morning after singing that song, because there's sometimes that line that we were singing isn't always true. Wherever you lead me, whatever it costs me, all I want is you. And I'm standing back there going, you know, I struggle with the same things you guys do, with finances, with priorities, with where we spend our time. And I was sitting back there worshiping, thinking, can I literally sing this and be honest with God when I say, all I want is you? And so what if this coronavirus stuff, what if the goal isn't to get back to normal? What if the goal is, and this isn't about gentleness, sorry, but what if the goal is to find Jesus in this and to share Jesus with people who are hopeless? We're standing here with masks on, singing praises to a God that it makes no sense to people who are going, how can God be here if coronavirus is killing people? How can God be here if I'm hurting so deeply? How could he let me hurt this badly? And they're listening and they're watching us. So what if this coronavirus stuff, maybe it's not, Paul is talking to the church and saying, this is not a normal, we're not going back to normal. It's Jesus and only Jesus for salvation. What if God's wanting to do something in a church to where we don't go back to a normal, to where we move forward with it being Jesus and only Jesus, not Jesus in our kids' sports or Jesus in politics on Facebook, but Jesus and only Jesus is the main important and driving force in our lives. Sorry, that was just a little aside. I was dealing with that back there, so I thought I would bring that here. But Paul is telling the Galatians that here's what he's saying to those people who are saying, you have to have Jesus plus. Those are harsh words. He said, you are severed from Christ. And the reason being, because if you're going to say you have to be circumcised, you have to keep these other laws, then what you're saying is you're going to be beholden to the entire law for salvation. And the law was never meant to save. That's why Jesus came. So people who are living under the law and they're living under their flesh, if you look in Galatians 5, if you're looking for evidence of if you're living by the flesh or if you're living by the Spirit, It says in verse 19, it's pretty harsh. Verse 19, if you were led by the flesh, which means you're trying to live under the law, you're trying to do the right things, you're trying to earn salvation, if you're living by the flesh, they're evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not a fun list. And you think about like pros and cons. You know, I want to live by the flesh, live by the spirit. You write that list of things down, and I'm pretty sure it's quickly you're on, I don't want that. But I bet you guys could all see, just like I did, there are some things in that list that I struggle with. I've been jealous, and not just that long ago. Like there's things that happen sometimes. I could be scrolling through Facebook, which sometimes I wonder if God was even a part of that creation. But I'm flipping through Facebook, and I see something I wish I had, and immediately I'm going, I got to get off this. Because it's taken my focus away from what God's given me, and it's helping me remember what I don't have, as though God hadn't given me enough. But the good news, if you're living by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And this morning, we're going to talk about gentleness, which I know it's exciting because every guy loves to hear, you need to be gentle. I read this, and I'm just going to be honest with you. Gentle is not a word that I mean, my mom said, this is perfect for you. You're gentle. Going, don't say that. I don't want to hear that I'm gentle. I want to go hunt. I want to get tools and hammer things. Ladies, guys, I'm sorry I'm outing you, but we actually do like to come inside and kill your bugs. Like when my wife calls me in and says, there's a bug, can you get it? I mean, I'm going to make this face. But inside, I'm like, yes, I get to go protect my family. Adventure. I get to kill this ant. And there's a sense of pride when you walk in and go, where's the bug? And they point it out, and you're like, they're right there. And you walk out, call me next time, I'll be back. Guys want that adventure that they don't want to be thought of as gentle. And we get this thought of gentle. Maybe we think of gentle as weak or weakness. Or maybe we feel like it makes us a little more vulnerable when we hear words like, you need to be gentle. Because men were created to have adventure and sometimes to be aggressive and stuff. And so when I'm hearing the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, and I'm looking it up and I'm spending time praying over it, I'm thinking, I really just don't like that word. But then when you dig deeper, it's not about weakness. And it can be about vulnerability, but it's not about weakness. But our society right now, do you think our society values gentleness? I don't, regardless of whether you stand politically, Dr. Ben Carson, when he was running for president and he was doing the debates and stuff, on the surface, he seems like a really good guy. But I can't see any way where he would ever have been elected the candidate for the Republicans or as a president of the United States, mainly because anytime he's talked with his soft-spoken, gentle voice, never insulting anybody, he was out-talked and overshadowed and beat down verbally by everybody else on the podium. And he comes across as a really gentle man. But that's not what the world values. The world values those who see what they want and they take it. The world values fighting to the death to make sure you guys know that I'm right about a certain issue. The world is like divide and conquer. And gentleness doesn't fit into that. The hard part and the good news, though, is we're not supposed to be part of the world. We're not supposed to be the world. So gentleness, well, here, let me give you another example. How hard is it to say I'm sorry? It's like the heart. I mean, can somebody is it just me? Or it's like when I get into an argument or something, it's really hard to say those two words, even when you know you're at fault. It's just me, I guess. That's okay. I can stand up here and say it's really hard to say those two words, even when I'm at fault. I struggle with this urge to keep arguing and to keep, you know, battling my way to make sure you know that I'm right. I fight that urge versus saying I'm sorry is so hard. And I know modeling it for my three kids is vitally important that they hear their dad saying, I'm sorry, when he's messed up. But how much harder is it to say I'm sorry? Could you see a value in saying I'm sorry even when you're not wrong? It's vitally important to say it when you're wrong. But what if you're not wrong? Is there a part of you that says, well, why would I say I'm sorry if I'm not wrong? That makes no sense. I'm not doing that. The thing about being gentle and the thing about saying things like I'm sorry, words have such power and such meaning. And if Mike and I were in an argument right now and things were getting heated, me saying I'm sorry, even if I know Mike's wrong, me saying I'm sorry and saying it with like sincerity, it's such a disarming word. And so gentle in the sense that I'm not fighting my brother over here over an issue. This issue could be hugely important. Wherever you stand on social justice or immigration or abortion or coronavirus handling, wherever you stand on that, those are important issues. But if Mike and I sit here, and I'm sorry to just keep using you, we haven't gotten in an argument. I'm just using him because he's the first one over there. But if Mike and I get in an argument, it's okay to discuss these things. But if we're bashing each other over who's right over a certain topic, then this topic is lost, and now he's my enemy. And all I'm doing now is bashing my brother in Christ. And if I do it on Facebook, I'm bashing a church member and a brother in front of the world to see. A world that needs to see unity in Christ. It's so hard. It's so hard because we want to talk about these issues. I love talking about these kind of issues. But it's emotionally charged, and it's very easy for a debate conversation to turn into aggression and us lose the gentle spirit behind it. And it can be damaging. If you look in, I kind of lost where I was, Danny, so you'll have to find it. If you look in verse 14 and 15, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul says, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you're trying to live out your life and you're trying to live out your days to bring glory to God, and you're wanting to do the right things in life, that's great. But being right about an important topic is not more important than loving your neighbor as yourself. And as soon as we get into battles, as soon as my kids and I get into a battle over something, and I realize that it's getting heated, it needs to turn into, I love them as I love myself, and this little issue, this or big issue, can't turn me against my kids, me against my spouse. Elisa and I don't fight. I have arguments very often. I hate saying the word fight because it sounds different, but we don't have arguments very often. But we're pretty good to stop when it comes to where we're bordering that line between we're talking about an issue. And we don't cross over this, we see each other as the enemy. And I think that happens too often in our culture. Chapter 5, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the whole law fulfilled in the one word. If we could see ourselves, or if we could see the person we're talking to as equal to us, loving, I think Mason said it one time, I love me some me. Did you say that one time? Maybe in John Mark, I don't remember. I love me some me. If I love my neighbor as I love myself, then these issues would never get in the way of us. And that's hugely important. Why the fruit of the Spirit? Let me just tell you right now, this stuff that we're talking about, if you read gentleness and you're thinking, I'm not a gentle person, I could never be that way, you're right. You could never be that way. I could never be that way. But this is the fruit. This is the Spirit's work inside you producing this for the purpose of making you more like Jesus. So if you see yourself as not a gentle person, or if you're hearing what I'm saying and going, we get overheated all the time. I'm always saying things I don't mean to my family or my kids or another friend. I'm always debating and arguing and it gets carried away. You can't just go, I'm going to will myself not to do it. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Someone who's being led by the Spirit of God is inside them, shaping them to become more like Jesus. And coming back to when I said, have you ever apologized or feel like you should apologize even if you're not wrong? There's a little bit of a pride that goes into saying, I'm not going to apologize if I'm not wrong. Who would do that? But if you remember, it's the author and the perfecter of our faith is the one we're trying to be like. Who, when he had no sin and no blame, willingly took all of ours to the cross. And not just that, the full wrath of God upon him was on his shoulders when he took our sins. And none of it was his fault. So when we sit and we say, well, I'm not going to apologize I didn't say anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. There is precedent from Jesus himself that he took on our blame when he didn't have to. And if you look in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul also writes in here, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the body of the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Sorry. So the whole purpose of us being led by the Spirit, and the whole purpose of gentleness is so that things don't escalate and you see unity in the body. Because you're not my enemy, even if we disagree on things. And I can guarantee you, we would disagree, every single one of us would disagree on something. But you're not my enemy. And the world sees us battling, sees us having struggles with families, sees us airing out dirty laundry through emails, conversations in public, and conversations on social media, talking about politics or whatever. And the message we're sending to the world is that this is more important than us as a body. This, all I want is you. This other stuff is more important than our one goal, pressing in towards Jesus. You know the devil's doing this. You know what he's thinking. Well, I don't know what he's thinking, but you can imagine what the devil is thinking is, you know what, I can't take salvation away from somebody, but what if I can get these two or three people who are saved to air out a bunch of dirty laundry, like on social media or in public, and for the whole world to see it, and just completely make people who hate the church, just give them more ammo against the church. Keep in mind when we talk about gentleness and we're talking about being led by the fruit of the Spirit, that the whole point of it is to bring us closer together in unity and make us more like Jesus. Whereas the fruit of the flesh is that whole list of nasty stuff that we don't even want to admit to. There's a world church that is needing gentle men and women who are aggressively sharing Jesus, but gentle in love and compassion. Think about how Jesus responded and reacted to sinners. He would go to the Pharisees and you'd see him flipping tables over and you would see some aggression. But he would go to the hurt, the lost, the broken. And there was gentleness and compassion and mercy and forgiveness. And this is from the one person who we should be modeling our lives after. So it's not that gentleness is a weakness. Gentleness can be a huge, huge strength. Because it can disarm arguments. It can lower tensions. It can speak love even in difficult topics or difficult circumstances. So parents, if you struggle, if you have any conflict with your kids, I mean, I do sometimes. I have great kids. But there's some conflict sometimes. Audrey's almost a teenager. So you guys who had teenagers, you know, trying to find that point where you're saying, I love you more than I'm willing to fight over this topic. Sometimes that's hard. But I'm going to ask you guys this morning to pray that the Holy Spirit would convict you in areas where gentleness has not been the forefront of your mind. Where we've let ourselves get carried away by topics or punishments or consequences for actions for our kids or arguments and fights with our spouse to just arguments with church members or coworkers or whatever. Areas where we've struggled in approaching things with a gentle spirit. I'm just going to ask you guys to pray this morning that God's Holy Spirit would move us to being more like Jesus in gentleness and mercy, compassion, and love. In Philippians, if you guys turn to Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And in some versions, in the next verse says, let your gentleness be evident to all. But then the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But the first two lines, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. I just want to encourage you this morning. You can't be gentle. You can't be patient on your own. We pray for patience all the time. You can't be these things on your own. But if you are a believer, and if all we want is Jesus, if he is our goal, and he is who we're striving to become more like, then gentleness is a fruit we need to be striving after. Because it's not weakness. It's actually strength. And it's a fruit that God wants to work inside of us. For a world that's dying, they need to see a gentle, loving Christians loving this world and the people of it, I mean. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that like I said earlier, that you guide us. And you never leave us. And even in times where we're at fault, you never leave us and you never forsake us. God, I pray right now, even as we're in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of an election year, in the midst of any kind of life circumstances, from finances to raising children to marriage. God, right now, everybody's in something. Would your Holy Spirit move in this place and move in us to become more like your Son? That our actions and our words that already carry such weight, God, I pray that you would be at work in our lives in such a way to where our words and our actions would line up with you. That our gentleness would be evident to all. That the world would see us being able to have disagreements and being able to have life struggles, but being able to see things, supernatural things in our lives that can't be explained, like gentleness in times when it'd be easy to get frustrated or angry or speak that way. To have joy in times when there's so much uncertainty. And peace when the world is anything but at peace. I pray for everyone in here and online and everyone that in this body here, that we would all be seeking after you and with our whole heart and wanting to see you at work in our lives. Would you help us become more gentle with our words and our actions so the world sees a unified church? It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.